let's turn today to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And that's where we'll start our reading. We'll read out of three scriptures today. As you're turning to 1 John chapter 5, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will... Man, I love, you know, Thanksgiving Day. Braden came over to the house, and I was thankful. Braden was walking through the kitchen. He said, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I thought, thank you, Braden, for that. Because I love when our young people believe that, when they say that. We had a great day gathering together and had a great day. First Thanksgiving with our grandson, Atlas, which was fantastic. He had on his little turkey outfit. We stuck him in an actual giant turkey. I'm just kidding. We didn't really. But it was great to celebrate and to be reminded these are the things that we're thankful for. We're thankful for family. And even where we can't gather together, we're thankful for that. So, 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read verse 13 and 14. And it says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Man, I love that. I love that. And as we talk about hope today and the hope that we have, hope is in things that we cannot see. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But this scripture says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." And I love that. And we talked a couple weeks ago about believing. And we talked about the man that Jesus said, "You simply must believe." And he said, "I believe. Help my what? Help my unbelief." I was reading a book the other day, and it talked about, if you only believe these things. And it was a business book. And it said, if you only believe that these things will come to pass. And part of our problem when we stumble and when we're having struggles is that we don't believe enough. We don't believe completely. And this says, "I have written to those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God." And what did he write? He said, "That you may know that you have eternal life." We have to know that. So today, as we talk about hope, we have to know that we have eternal life. When he talks about that, he goes further and says also that you may what? Continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, in that he put that there, I'm thinking there were probably those that struggled. I believe today. What about a year down the road? 5 years down the road. Think about those friends of yours that believed at one point. And now you're looking around going, "Oh, where are they?" Church members that believed but no longer believe. So this is a prayer, I believe, as well. "These things I have written to you, that to those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you know you have eternal life." But we have to not know that today. We have to know that tomorrow. That we may continue to believe that same thing. Now turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as you're turning there, our hope is found in the promises of God. The promises that we have eternal life. Not just today that promise is good, but that promise is good tomorrow as well. In my other business as director of customer service, I make offers every now and then to customers. By the way, Saint used to work with me, and I was very thankful for that, but I'm sure he was very thankful to move away from that business. As a matter of fact, just recently purchased his own business and now owns a... what was it called? It's called Whatchamacallit Tools now. It was Meridian Tools? Meridian Tools, and Saint is the owner of that. And as we talk about believing, let me tell you about this just real quick, a side note, since you're here, Saint. He believed it was possible. When the first couple banks shut him down, he believed and he prayed about it. And he knew Christian businessmen. And he prayed and went to a place and put together the plan was able to achieve that because he believed, but because he also prayed about it. And that's the kind of faith we're talking about today when we have hope. And he had hope that there were better things ahead for him. And he's there now. By the way, when I stopped in to visit him, his young children were working there, so I don't know about that, but no, I'm just kidding. I don't know if they were working so much as eating the popcorn they had there, so that was great. That was a good day. But as we talk about hope, and we talk about the promises of God, that eternal life, and I talked about in my business that every now and then I have to make offers. My offers are not good until the end of eternity. I say, you've got 5 days to make a decision. You've got till the end of this month. If you don't make a decision by this date, we're done. But that's not these promises. This promise of eternal life goes on forever. Those of us that have lost loved ones, and those of us that believe, we will see them again. And we will be reunited with them. But we know that we have eternal life. Hope is found in the promises God has given us. Freedom from sin. That is a hope we can all rely on. Freedom from sin. He gives us a way out. Hope is laced throughout the Old and New Testament. The Scriptures say we have the gift of eternal life made possible through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now turn over, if you would, if you're not there already, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that hope and that promise of eternal life means no matter what trials, no matter what temptations, no matter what pain and struggles we are going through, no matter what hurt we may be suffering right now in the middle of, we can hold on to the hope God extends to us. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to be in verse 16 through 18. And I love my heading in my Bible, says, "Seeing the invisible." And it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." We could just stop right there and say, okay, therefore, we do not lose heart. But because we struggle with this affliction called the flesh, oftentimes we lose heart. And it says, "Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Eric talked about cutting down limbs last week. I thought, I haven't even got to that point yet. And then when I did, I thought of this. "Even though our outward man is perishing," yeah, my body was perishing as I was doing that work, "yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions," verse 17, "for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are external." And I thought, when we look at that, it says, "Therefore, do not lose heart." What does that mean? That means that we have to maintain hope. We have to maintain hope. Hope, like I said, is in and out of the Old and New Testament. And that's fantastic. I love that. Now it says the inward man is being what? The inward man is being renewed. Day by day. That means we have to get in the Word, pray in the Word, stay in the Word, live in the Word. And when we live in the Word, that means we what? We walk in it. We walk in light. We walk in the Word. We live in it. We live in the light. We live in the Word. If we are being renewed daily, the inward man is being renewed day by day. How do we do that? Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And he's not done yet. He says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be" what? "Transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind." And I think what the scripture that we started out with, and it says, "And that you may continue to believe." That renewing of our mind helps keep us continuing
to believe day in and day out that God's promises are still alive, they're still active, they're still working in our life because of the renewing of our mind, which helps us renew our heart and our thoughts. Man, we got to capture those thoughts, church. Whew, they can get out of control quickly. I'm scared to death to burn my trees or my limbs that fell down. Why? I don't want those babies getting out of control. And that can be our thoughts. That can be our tongue. Sometimes we're in the midst of things. We're just spouting things. And we can't even stop ourselves. It's so bad. But we need to maintain control there. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. The inward man is being renewed day by day. Paul's telling the body of believers in Romans 12, he's saying, use your bodies as a living sacrifice. Don't bring the dead animal sacrifice anymore. Use your bodies as a new sacrifice that is pleasing to God, that we can give Him service and we can do the will of God. Now, back to where I was in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. And I love this because if you're someone that's going through trials and tribulations and hurt and pain and disease and struggles, then you read this verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And you think, God, do you not see me in the hospital? God, do you not see me at home? Do you not see me at work struggling? Do you not see me sitting in church lonely and hurt and sad and depressed and minimized? Do you not see that? And you call it a light affliction? Yes, that's correct. He does. He said, absolutely, that is a light affliction, which is but for a moment. And it says, and in that you're going through it, that's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God, I don't get that. They're light and they're temporary compared to our eternal life and glory of God's promises. When we focus on the things that we're going through, rather than focusing on the eternal life that we have, it gives us a more poor, pitiful me feeling. Versus Eric talked last week about living sacrifices and talked about those that honor God and those that are in the midst of things. I apologize, Zach, you were talking in your testimony and you said, as your mother was dying and Ground Zero went over and prayed over her. And what did she do at the end of that? She prayed for them. I remember when our brother Mark Caldwell passed away, and Jack, at his funeral, said his living sacrifice was that he could take the Lord's Supper one last time. And that was how he became a living sacrifice. That in his last moments, he said, I would like to have the Lord's Supper. Those are living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable to God. Now remember, several minutes ago, I said, hope is found in God's promises. And we started out there. And this says we've got to allow the inward man to be transformed. The outward man is perishing. We know that. The minute a baby is born, he's getting closer to death every minute he's alive. But what we focus on is what life can we have and what will the eternal value be? And we have God's promise that said he will give us eternal life to those that believe and also those that continue to believe. So when Paul writes that you're trials are light, that the things you're going through, your affliction is light. It's momentary. My mother's 88. She's probably thinking, this life isn't so momentary. It's been 88 long years raising 5 kids. and doing the last half of it alone. You may say, that's not light affliction to me. That's not momentary to me. That's a long time. We can't grasp eternity, church. We cannot grasp eternity and what that means. We have to allow. Allow, that means we give permission for the inward man to be transformed. We have to allow ourselves to look at things that are unseen. Ooh, that's difficult to do. I have to look at things that I can't see. Why do we do that? It says right here, it says, for those things are eternal. The very last part of chapter 4. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Those are the things that we focus on. I'm going to close with this. Turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. And as we talk about the season of Advent and preparing ourselves, and we think about hope, I think we have to be hope to others. We have to be that hope. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, and it says this. This is when the woman is at the well and Jesus says, hey, give me a drink. And she goes on to say all this stuff. Verse 13, Jesus answers and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman's response was what? Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here anymore to draw water. And Jesus, of course, is talking about the inward man being renewed and reinvigorated and being refreshed and being refilled and being restored and being completed. We must give hope to others. Not just at Christmas time, when we talk about hope, but year round, we have to give hope to others. In the last week, I know of a few people that committed suicide. Know of situations. I don't mean I know that. I know one, but I thought how sad that these people felt no hope. And I know at times it can be lonely. And I know at times sometimes it's a medical diagnosis. And I know at times it's a relationship issue. But I thought how sad that these people had no other hope. And so, church, we have to be hope. We have to walk around with that hope, ready to share that. And really, let's be honest, even when we're not ready, people are still looking at us for hope. They're looking to us and at us and through us. And they're looking at our actions saying, is that hope? Do they have something that I can hang on to? And so we have to share hope with others by telling them about this living water. That living water, that hope, is Jesus Christ. Amen? Whoever drinks of this water that they're drawing will thirst again. Wherever you're living life without Jesus Christ, you will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. You will not have to look for whatever you're looking for anymore. And I don't mean that you won't have needs and desires and those things. But Jesus said, I will fulfill the things that you need. the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. There's that everlasting life, God's promise that we have. And we now have that to what? Give and share with others. God's word tells us, I comfort you so that you may comfort others. We've read that scripture before. I give you hope so that you can give others hope in me. As we go into this Advent season, prepare to celebrate the birth of our Savior, I want us to really think, as we go through these weeks of Advent, and think, what does it mean to have hope? And how do I give that gift to others? This is a time that re-gifting is absolutely okay. How do I give that gift of hope to others? Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Fathers, we prepare for the Advent season. Lord, would you help direct us to your Son, Jesus Christ? Lord, would you refocus us to your Son, Jesus Christ, as we go through these things? Heavenly Father, would you just continue to give us the hope of eternal life so that we may share that with others? God, as we sang today, you are a way maker. You're working in this place. You are moving in our midst. You are a promise keeper, a miracle worker. You are light in the darkness. As we read out of Isaiah today, and you are here present in us, touching every heart, working on mending every heart, and turning lives around. Heavenly Father, to those struggling today, that you would give them hope and the promise of eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.